Okay, the psukim in this week's parsha, in Perek Chaf, describe how Miriam died in Midbar Tzin, and she was buried there. And there was no water for Bnei Yisrael to drink. And they gathered with Moshe and Aaron, and it says they fought with Moshe, saying that it would have been better for them never to have left Mitzrayim. They go into the Midbar. They should have just died with everyone else in Mitzrayim. Here they have no water. What are they going to do? And the Gemara says in Maseches Tainis, Daf Tesamet Aleph, that the reason for this juxtaposition between Miriam dying and the Jewish people complaining about the water was the fact that through the 40 years that Bnei Yisrael were in the Midbar, their source of water was a rock called the Be'er Shel Miriam, in the merit of Miriam, that this rock gave forth water. And now Miriam died, so that merit didn't exist anymore, and the water was gone, so they started to complain to Moshe and Aaron, where's the water, what are we going to do? Now, as a side point, why was Miriam the source, why was it in her merit that we were going to have water in the desert? So the different answers that are given, Rabbeinu Bachai says that because in the beginning of Parsha Shmos, it says, V'teisatzav achosom mirachok l'deya maya selo, that Miriam stood by the Nile watching her baby brother Moshe in the Teva going towards the Egyptians, right? And she was waiting to see what would happen. So because she was concerned something related to the water, so it was in her merit that later on the Jewish people would be able to drink water. And the Kli Yakar gives a different answer. Earlier in Parsha Shmos, the Pasuk says that the Miyaldos, the midwives, didn't listen to Paro to kill all the firstborns, the baby boys. Instead, they had Yira Shemayim, they feared God, and they let them live. And the Gemara says that what that means is they gave them water. They gave them food. They gave them what to be able to sustain themselves. And therefore, who are those Miyaldos? Who are those midwives? Miriam. And therefore, in the merit of Miriam, the Jewish people were able to drink water in the Midbar. Okay. Very nice. The problem is that the Gemara says in Maseches Bava Metzia, and Daf Peivav Amud Beis, 86b, that it was in the merit of Avram that the Jewish people had water in the Midbar. Because when the angels, the visitors, came to Avram, and Avram wanted to provide them with water, he says, Yukach nama atmayim, take some water. Give them water. And bizchus that, in that merit, his descendants, Avram's descendants, would also be able to have water in the desert. So all the mefarshim, the commentaries ask, I don't get it. Was it in the merit of Miriam, or was it in the merit of Avram? So the Marsha says, both. It was because of Avram that initially, momentarily, temporarily, the Jewish people would be able to have some water. But why did they have the ability to have water for 40 years? That was in the merit of Miriam. Because of Miriam's chesed, her kindness that she did, either like we said, because she was watching over little baby brother Moshe, or because she saved the babies by giving them water, that's why the Jewish people merited for 40 years to be able to drink this water. And here comes the question. So, if it wasn't just going to be temporary, just for a moment in time, like in the merit of Avram that got the water, but it was going to go for the long distance. So why, when she died, did they not be able to continue drinking water? Just because she died, let it continue. Let her merit continue for another year or so until they walk into Eretz Yisrael. Why did it stop just because she died? This is the Al-Sheikh's question. And the Al-Sheikh says something fascinating, life-changing, and will have a drastic effect on every single person's marriage. either now or in the future. Okay, so listen very carefully. He says as follows. He says that, of course, the Be'er was going to continue to give off water. Of course, Miriam died, so what? Let her merit continue later on, like we asked. Of course it was going to continue. So why did Hashem stop it? The answer, he says, is because it's only supposed to be a temporary stop. Sometimes you have something for 40 years, you forget perhaps why you have it. It's like every day, you know, you drink of water, go to the Be'er and you get some of your water, right? After a while, you don't remember, oh, this is because of her. Oh, her. She's the one that's providing us with that water. Forget about it. We're not as in tune to it. So comes along Miriam and she dies. Says the Al-Sheikh, Miriam, she was a Nevi'ah. She was a prophet. She was very, very, very righteous. She deserves a huge eulogy. People should be crying. People should be thinking about her. People should be speaking about her. So maybe they should speak about how amazing she was, that it was in her merit that we got the water. But maybe they forgot about it. Maybe they forgot about that amazing thing that Miriam gave him. So Hashem said, okay, no problem. I'll just stop it for a minute. And then they'll remember, woo, it was because of her. Oh, Miriam, she was amazing. And then I'll give it back to them in a minute. Right after the eulogy, the water will start pumping out of the rock again. No problem. But what happened? And this, the Al-Sheikh quotes a Yalkut Shimoni, something fascinating. It explains the psukim. The psukim say that she died. They didn't have water. Vayikalu al Moshe al Aaron. They gathered against Moshe and Aaron. And then the next pasuk says, Vayarev ha'amim Moshe, and they fought with Moshe. They gathered against Moshe and Aaron, and they fought with Moshe. What does that mean? So he explains, the Yalkut Shimoni says, that Moshe and Aaron were standing there. Oh, their sister died. They were so sad. And all of a sudden, the mass of the Jewish people started coming towards them. And Aaron says, wow, look at this. It's beautiful. They're all coming to comfort us. They're all coming to tell us how amazing Miriam was. And Moshe's like, that's not why they're coming. If that's why they were coming, they would come in order. First, the generals, the heads, the Zakenim would come, and then the next level of officers, etc. They would come in a certain order. They're coming all in different, in mass, right? They're coming in no order. They're coming for something not good. That's what Moshe said. And the Jewish people overheard Moshe, so then they left Aaron. They went and attacked Moshe. Moshe, what are you doing? We need our water. Meaning he was right. They weren't coming to comfort. They weren't coming to eulogize. They were coming to complain. They totally missed the boat of the fact that Miriam had given them the water. So Hashem said, oh yeah? You're not going to recognize that it was in her merit? Forget it. You're not getting it back. And then the whole episode that they had to complain, and Moshe hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock, etc. But it would have just come right back if they would have recognized where the water came from and shown the appropriate appreciation for what they received. Okay. Let's hold off on that. Let's move to the next part of the psukim later on in Perek Chaf. That same Gemara in Maseches Taanis says that it was in the merit of Aaron that the Anani HaKavod, the clouds of glory, came upon the Jewish people while they were in the Midbar, and it protected them. Okay? But here comes a problem. Because the Gemara says that the second Aaron died, in this week's parsha, later on it talks about Aaron's death. When Aaron died, the Anani HaKavod, the clouds of glory, disappeared. But that makes no sense. Because the Pasuk says, in Pasuk Chavtes, it says, Vayu kol ha'ida ki gava Aaron. Everyone saw that Aaron died. Vayivku es Aaron shlosh miyom. They cried for 30 days. Not like by Miriam when it didn't seem like they mourned too much. 30 days they cried. Kol Beis Yisrael, Rashi says, Kol Beis Yisrael, the men, the women, Aaron. Aaron was the one who made shalom, made peace amongst husband and wife, amongst families, amongst the people. All of the Jewish people for 30 days were crying. They mourned plenty for Aaron. So why did the Anani HaKavod, why did the clouds of glory disappear? Should have come back. So Chaim Kanievsky was asked this question. And he said, take a look at the Gemara Yerushalmi at the end of the first parak of Masechah Sota, period. Which means you have to go look it up, okay? And this is what it says over there in the Gemara. Fascinating. The Gemara asks the following question. On one hand, in Sefer Devarim, Perek Yud, Pasuk Vav, it implies that Aaron died in a place called Moseira. But in this week's Parsha, it's explicit that he died in a place called Hor Hahar. So did he die in Hor Hahar, or did he die in Moseira? So the Gemara says the following story. Aaron died in Hor Hahar, like it says in this week's Parsha. And that the second he died, the Anani HaKavod left. The Knanim noticed that these clouds of glory were no longer there. That was the protective shield of the Jewish people. And they said, oh yeah, let's go get them. Now we're going to go and fight the Jewish people because they don't have that shield anymore. So they went in. The Jewish people saw this army coming after them. Said, whoop, we're out of here. We're going back to Egypt. So many of the Jewish people went backwards, started going back to Mitzrayim. Shevet Levi said, what's going on over here? What, we got this far, you're going back now? They chased after their brothers. And they said, you can't do this. And they said, we're out of here, we're going back. You can't do this, we're going. No. They started a war. And Shevet Levi killed 8 full families of the Jewish people. And 4 families of Shevet Levi died. A tremendous tragedy. And after the dust settled, they said, whoa, why did this happen to us? What's going on? And they realized that they didn't mourn Aaron's death enough. Yes, they cried. Yes, they don't have the Shalom Bayis man anymore. They don't have the marriage therapist that could come and work things out. But is Moshe maybe bigger than that? Did they fully recognize everything that Aaron had given them? No. And they realized that that was the problem. So at that point, they all accepted upon themselves, let's eulogize Aaron all over again. And let's really think about all the good stuff that he gave us. And let's recognize it and show our appreciation. That episode happened in Moseira. And therefore, the Pasuk says that it was as if he died in Moseira, because the whole eulogy and the whole mourning started all over again when they got to Moseira. And that's why the Torah mentions that and not Hor Hahar. Meaning that even when Aaron died, yes, they cried for 30 days, but they didn't fully appreciate and recognize everything that Aaron had given them. So what do we learn from here? From this idea of the Al-Sheikh, from this Gemara in the Yerushalmi, we learn something very, very, very important for all of our lives, for our marriages, for our future marriages, and that is as follows. It's human nature that we begin to appreciate something when it's no longer with us. People appreciate relatives that pass away. People appreciate money that they didn't have, or whatever it is. When we have something, we lose it, then we appreciate it in a much more significant way. And that's why Hashem said, oh, I bet they're not going to remember about Miriam and the Be'er. I'm going to take it away for about 5 seconds. They'll remember and I'll give it back to them. No problem. That's the human nature. However, the Torah is teaching us that if you don't appreciate those things, you will never be able to hold on to it. Nothing that we have could be sustained if we don't recognize where it comes from and we don't appreciate and show that appreciation to the person that's giving it to us. And I always like to say, unfortunately this is true, that when after I had my first child, so my wife, you know, she's in the hospital with the second child or the third, whatever, and you know, I'm home with the other kids. And I can't figure anything out. And I'm talking about from making a simple peanut butter sandwich. You can't, like, what in the... It takes a half an hour to do with, she somehow does it in a half an hour for all the kids, and I, for one kid, it's taking me a half an hour. And my 3-year-old is telling me, no, Abba, you're supposed to put it here, not there. I'm like, oh, yeah, thank you. You know, you don't even recognize the magnitude of what she does for me until she's not around. And then it's all on my shoulders, and I have to figure the whole thing out. I'm begging her to come home from the hospital. Right? But it shouldn't be that way. It's true But it shouldn't be that way. I should be able to, now, when my wife's not in the hospital, take time out of my day and think, what are the things that she does for me? All the things, not, oh, she did this big thing for me. Every little thing adds up to a lot of time. Well, that's a lot of time. If I would have to do that, I'd be exhausted by the end. And I always say that at 9 o'clock in the morning, when I finally get all the kids out, I'm ready to go to sleep. I'm done. Like, my day's over. You know, like, and all of a sudden, you start recognizing it. But you shouldn't need that. You shouldn't need that person's not around to be able to appreciate everything that's being done. Now you're in yeshiva. You have rebbeim. You have friends that are investing a lot of time in helping you. So you shouldn't have to wait till you leave yeshiva. And then I hear from alumni sometimes, oh, I should never have left. Or I didn't build enough of a kesher, a connection with the Rebbe, that now all of a sudden I want to talk to him and I feel bad. But if you would have recognized here what this Rebbe is doing, then you would have said thank you every single shir. Thank you for a great shir. Thank you for putting in the time. Every single day. It's his job. So first of all, no one gets paid that much. And second of all, who cares? It's his job. The amount of time that's being put in. Say thank you every single shir. Thank you very much. We can't take these things for granted. It's crucial. And if we don't show appreciation, so we're going to lose it. That's what Torah is saying. You don't appreciate Aaron? You don't appreciate Miriam? Okay. It's gone. It's out of here. You lost it. This has to be something that we work on when times are good and we have everything. Not when times are bad or chas v'shalom where we don't lose it. Then we start saying, oh, it was great. It was this. It was that. Every single day, every one of us have to take time out of our day and make lists of all the people, all the different energies that are helping us succeed in life. And then, it's not so manly, but you have to go ahead and show that appreciation. Let the people know. Don't worry, your Rebbe will not mind if every time you go ahead and you say something. At the end of the Zman, right, we're hitting towards the end of the year. You leave a shir, you buy a present for the Rebbe. Doesn't have to be expensive. It could be a simple safer that you buy. If it's too much money, get 5 of you to spend the 25 shekel to buy the safer. And you write a nice card, nice letter inside the safer, and you give it to the Rebbe. Show that you have that appreciation. You go somewhere for Shabbos. You buy something, and if it's too much money, so you buy a lollipop for the kids. Doesn't cost that much. Buy a whole package. Buy a package of 50, it'll last you for many Shabbos. It's not hard to do. It's the thought that counts. It shows that you're appreciating it. You're not taking things for granted. I'm speaking to myself. This is something that human beings have difficulty with. It's a basic element. It's hard for us to realize that other people are helping us. It makes us feel not so big, that we need other people to provide for us. It's not good for our ego. That's why men have a very difficult time with this. But that's why we, Dafka, have to spend extra time to go ahead and figure this out. And the Pasuk says in the beginning of Parshas Hazinu that the Jewish people are Am Naval Velo Chacham. They're a Naval. What's a Naval? What is that? So we know the word Naval could mean a carcass of an animal, Nivela. So the Ramban says that a Naval and the word Nafal, the bet and the pay, are very similar in Lashon HaKodesh. Naval, nafal, they go together. He says anything that falls to the ground, falls from its place of where it's supposed to be, is called a naval. And that's why fruits, the figs that fall off a tree are called novlot. Things that fall from where it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be in a tree, now it's on the ground. An animal is supposed to be standing up, it falls to the ground, it's called a nevela. Why the Jewish people called a naval, an am naval, Rashi says, because they were kafui tov, they didn't show gratitude to Hashem. When a human being does not show gratitude, he's not a human being. He has fallen from the status of being a human. So it's a basic element of who we are. And if we want to keep all the incredible brachos that we have in our lives, then we have to recognize all of those blessings and then express them to all the people that are giving to us. Be'ez Hashem, if we could work on this, so we'll see that all of our relationships will be incredible and we'll continue to have incredible bracha in our lives. Shavua Tov.